All right, good morning. It is good to be together. Good to be back together. Let me invite you to stand if you're able and turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, "This morning got a whole lot better when you showed up." All right, well, for today, I'm going to invite us, if you have a Bible with you or you want to grab one of those Bibles near you, we're going to turn to Psalm 73 today, 414 in the Bible that's next to you. Of course, the words will be on the screen here next to me as well. Today, Psalm 73, and Cliff's going to come and read for us, and then we'll pray and then get after it.
Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you will place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You will destroy me, all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. Let's take a moment and pray. God, once again, we gather together, thankful for these moments. And in our gathering, we come today bringing all that we are, our gratitude, our questions, our concerns, our hopes, our longings, our weariness, trusting that you are with us. And now as we reach into these ancient words, would you help us? Help us to hear your voice and give us hearts that are open. May we respond to your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is good to be back with you today. I do want to say thank you for your prayers and cards and flowers, and it's meant a lot to me. My relationship, as many of you know, with my dad was complicated, difficult, challenging, and so there's a lot for me to be kind of processing through, and knowing that I have a beautiful family here that loves me and is praying for me really makes a difference. So I want to say thank you to that for that. Today, I am ready to get back into it, lean back into our summer travels. We've been exploring the Psalms, keeping in mind again, these are not carefully organized theological compositions. They are prayers, right? They are cries of the heart. Ancient prayers for ordinary days, what we've been calling songs for the journey. And if you've been with us over these past couple of months now, perhaps you've begun to notice that the Psalms never ask us to pretend. They never ask us to hide the difficult parts of our lives. Right? They don't rush through our questions. They don't ignore the chaos. They don't minimize the valley. But over and over and over again, they invite us to bring our whole selves into the very presence of God. Yes, to bring our faith and our doubts, our confidence and our confusion, our gratitude and our grief, to bring our joy and our disappointment. All of it, because somehow, in some crazy, kind of amazing way, God is not waiting for some future version of you to show up. He meets us, you and me, as we are, right where we are. And we see that here today in Psalm 73, noting it begins with a confession, not of sin, but of struggle. 73 and 1, the opening line, it reads, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me." And let's pause there for a moment, because I think we've all been there. Some of us, myself included, maybe right now. Right, that situation, that relationship, that circumstance, right, where it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't fit what I thought to be true. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly, almost, lost my foothold. Almost. Maybe you can relate. Almost. Not entirely, not completely, not all the way. Almost. Maybe we almost gave up. Maybe we almost quit trying. Maybe we almost turned away. Maybe I almost let that moment become the story I trusted most. Which is interesting, because you might remember from Psalm 46 a few weeks back, the earth was giving way. Right, the mountains were falling, the seas were roaring and foaming. The world, the psalmist says, the world all around was coming undone. And yet here, the struggle is not the chaos around us, but what is within us. Because often it is not our circumstances that undo us, But it is the story we tell ourselves about the circumstance. Are you with me? As I often told my kids in their growing up years, more important than what somebody says to you is what you say to yourself about what somebody says to you. Because something happens, and almost without maybe realizing it, we begin telling ourselves a story about that something that happened. Begin telling ourselves a story about what it means. And that's exactly where we find Asaph this morning. But as for me, he writes, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly almost lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Right, those are the circumstances, but even more, it is the story he is telling himself, right? His perspective, his assumptions, his expectations. It's always the story that we tell ourselves, and the story Asaph tells himself that says, we read, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from burdens common to everyone else. Pride becomes their necklace. Violence, it's their clothing. Callous and evil imaginations, there's no limit. They scoff and they threaten and they mock. They have no thought for God. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. In other words, Asaph, he looks around, and the story he begins to tell himself is something like this. It's the people who are ignoring God are doing just fine, and those who are following God, well, not so much. That's the story he's telling, and eventually that story becomes the conclusion. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. And so often that is how it happens. We experience something, and we begin telling ourselves a story about what it means. And then pretty soon we no longer say, I'm telling myself a story. It becomes, well, that's just the way it is. Well, that's just life. And then we live that conclusion as though it were true, as though it were the end of the story, which is where Asaph now finds himself. Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. That phrase, troubled me deeply, comes from the Hebrew amal. It carries this idea of to toil. It's this something heavy, a burden. It's that thing that becomes wearisome. You're carrying this thing, this something, day after day after day. When I tried to understand, right? He keeps turning it over, trying to make sense of it. And the more he does, we read, it troubled me, right? The more weary he becomes, living his conclusion as though it were the end of the story. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. And let's stay here for a moment as well, because notice on the outside, nothing has really changed. The wicked are still prospering, free of care, amassing wealth, oppressing, right? Life has not suddenly become fair. It simply says, until. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Right, he draws near to God before his thinking changes. He encounters the presence of God and begins to see maybe what has been true all along. He begins to realize the story he has been telling himself was not the whole story. It's only then that we read Asaph understood. And not because the circumstances had changed, not because God had explained everything, but because in the presence, the nearness of God, Asaph, his perspective, his assumptions, his expectations, the story he had been telling himself began to change. In effect, he stopped seeing God through the lens of his circumstance and began to see his circumstance through the very presence of God. Are you with me? He stopped seeing God through the lens of his circumstance, and he began to see his circumstance through the presence of God, which is, I think it is one of the great discoveries of this psalm. Right, as Asaph draws near to God, it is there he begins to see what has been there all along. And everything begins to look different. We could say it like this. We could say he mistook chapter 3 for the ending. He thought he knew before the story was finished. And I think that's maybe often our temptation as well. Something happens and we jump to conclusions as though that ends the story, right? We interpret the diagnosis and we decide the outcome. Maybe we interpret the disappointment and we define its meaning. We interpret that struggle and determine our future. We write ending the story before God has finished telling the story. And then quietly the psalm comes full circle. Verse 28, but as for me. And what began at verse 1, interesting, right? Surely God is good, but as for me, becomes, but as for me, it is good to be near God. And notice again here, he doesn't end with everything all worked out. He doesn't end with all of our questions fully answered. He doesn't end with life suddenly making perfect sense. He discovers the deepest answer is not an explanation, but presence. The deepest answer is not an explanation, it is presence. But as for me, it is good to be near God. And maybe that's the invitation for us today. Because I believe every one of us is somewhere in this psalm. I know I am. Some of us are perhaps living in the midst of the almost. Perhaps some of us are carrying that burden, weary, turning it over and over, day after day. Perhaps some of us have been telling ourselves a story, and we need to remember it is only chapter 3, and God is not finished yet. And so before Phil and Ken come back up for our closing song, I want to invite us to sit in some stillness for a few moments. The microphone is available if you sense God inviting you to share. And to kind of help with this, as we sit together, to maybe consider what conclusions have I come to that God is inviting me to release? Maybe a situation, a relationship, a struggle. And maybe I've written the story and I think it's done. But God says, wait, you're only on chapter 3. What conclusions have I come to that God is inviting me to release? What is the story I have been telling myself about that circumstance? About that situation, that struggle? And to get at that, maybe, where have I been seeing God through my circumstances rather than seeing my circumstances through the presence of God? And we could ask it like this: where have I mistaken chapter 3 for the ending of the story? And then to close, and we'll sit for a few moments. Phil, when you feel led to come back up, where is God inviting me to stop writing the ending and simply draw near to Him? But as for me, it is good to be near God.